Hour number one of the Dr. Future show, straight ahead.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Ladies and gentlemen, KSCO presents the Dr. Future Show. If you would like to join in our show today, you can call us at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, your host, Dr. Future.
Why do we never... Hey, welcome everyone. Future Tuesday. Got some great stories today. Got some great people. This is Future, for starters.
Aw, well, thank you, sweetheart.
You're most welcome. Well, we have a very special guest on for the second hour, and it's going to be an interesting show because it's covering a topic we've never covered before. And I guess if I had to sum it up in a techie type of way, I'd call it Women's Lib 3.0.
That's right. Where will women be in the future? That's something Dr. Future has not really spent much time wondering about.
Well, I am now. And so get ready for the second hour. We're going to have international journalist Sally Armstrong on, who, when she does go to war zones, she's a war correspondent, but when she goes to war zones, she goes to hang out with the women and see what they're up to in the war zone, as opposed to the men, which we get coverage regularly of what they're doing.
Yeah. And for the women of this country, boy, when you start thinking about what goes on in terms of women's rights, say in Afghanistan or Africa, we don't even know what women of the world are dealing with.
And yet, there's a silver lining to this. Mm-hmm. Because what it does is it allows women from all over the planet to go into these areas and interfere with cultural behavior, you know, which is very interesting because it's like scissor, paper, stones. The women have a right to go through cultural boundaries and change culture. So that's interesting. It's a way of evolution that fascinates me.
Yes. Let's just say that women are 50% or more of the population. And
right,
yet,
exactly.
As Benazir Bhutto pointed out at the United Nations Conference on the State of Women in 1995, about 70% of the women in the world do not even have laws that protect them from violence and abuse in their own home.
I know,
home.
It's a sad situation. It is. And it's a universal one. And that's the good part about it. Because it's universal, it means that women can act and change things globally, which we can't do necessarily as the United States or in that context, because we're interfering with other people's cultures, right? This transcends culture in a good way. Anyway, we'll save that for the second hour.
Yes.
I think that's
absolutely
fascinating.
It's going to,
be
an amazing conversation with Sally Armstrong, whose book, Uprising, is a real beacon of hope, documenting some of the changes in these women's rights and legal protections and cultural changes over the last 20 years and a little bit before. Very hopeful, though.
Yes, ultimately. You have to go through the dark side to reach the light, it seems, with women. And women's issues, excuse me. I don't want to go there. Okay, let's move on, shall we? We've got some really interesting news.
Norma Jean is out there. Hi,
hey, Norma Jean. She's on the line, ready to take your calls when the mood moves you.
That's right. She's here to say hi to you and put you on hold until we're ready for your question. If you do want to talk to us on the show and comment on these articles, you can call us at 831-479-1080. You can also check out the articles on drfutureshow.com.
That's a phone number, by the way. Well, in the future, people won't know
that. Oh, that's for the future archives.
Yeah, I do think of the archives as well as the live audience. I'm sorry.
Awesome.
Me. Go ahead. Yes, thank you, Norma Jean, for being there. So let's get on to some future news while we have some time for the first hour. Elon Musk was in the news again today.
Elon, boy, he's become quite the Uber celebrity now.
I know, right? He's decided to make it go for an idea that we were talking about here about a year ago. And that's the idea to launch a fleet of 4,000 satellites into low Earth orbit. And now, why would you have 4,000 satellites in low Earth orbit? Well, it would provide universal internet for the entire planet.
Cool. That's all it takes, huh? 4,000 low Earth orbit satellites?
Well, there are different...
Everybody will have fast bandwidth?
Yeah, well, that's one of the plans. There's one that uses far fewer as well, but the idea is that Wi-Fi is pretty ubiquitous now. All the phones pick up Wi-Fi. All the computers use Wi-Fi as a signal.
Yeah.
So why not have Wi-Fi
in
the sky?
In a cafe, and the only thing that's available to me anymore is to subscribe to Xfinity and pay them by the minute
for
my Wi-Fi.
That's
I'm kind of bummed. Like, how come it's not everywhere free like it used to be?
Yeah, well, that's why these carriers have LTE now, because they just want you to stay on them when you go places. You never have to change. Mm-hmm. But this would be where you just change over to Elon's network, and that's it. You have free Wi-Fi.
Free Wi-Fi,
or,
mesh
I don't know,
network.
They'll probably charge for it, actually. It would be ubiquitous Wi-Fi would be the better terminology.
Right.
Yeah. Because apparently 3.8 billion people don't have access to the internet, even with the existing infrastructure.
Wow.
As fast as we're putting up all the towers for cell phones.
3.8 billion, huh?
3.8 billion
that's
still
a little
not
more
being
than
reached.
Half. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it. So this would end that. This would suddenly bring in the 3.8 billion people that don't have access now.
Okay, here it comes. Internet everywhere.
Yeah.
In our lifetime.
I think it'll be sooner than that. They're looking at like a 5-year time span.
Really? Wow. All right. I guess they're getting ready to launch. 4,000 satellites. How long can it take to put 4,000 satellites up?
Well, it depends on how you launch them. I think you can launch them like in clusters,
mm-hmm.
where lots of them get released simultaneously, and mm-hmm. then they all get into their own orbits. They all have a little bit of propulsion mm-hmm. capability. Mm-hmm. That's why he owns SpaceX, because you got to figure out that kind of stuff, hey?
Yeah.
You know, how to deploy
how
the
are you
going to
blanket the planet with
right.
internet and practice on Earth so it'll work when you get to Mars?
Yeah. And it is a shared dream that once the species is completely connected, that's when we go through some kind of major change.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because if McLuhan was correct and the telecommunications is a part of our species'
nervous system,
then... we might suddenly identify ourselves as a species rather than as something less than that.
Sure.
Or something else, like American or Canadian
right.
or
and the,
black or white. Or
the movement that started when we first saw Earth from the moon and that picture of
seeing
the blue marble.
Seeing it as a holistic thing, yeah. Yeah,
It'll just take root and the whole species will see themselves as planetary citizens.
It's like the American dream of coast to coast, the Wild West, manifest destiny.
This is more like international dateline to
the
international
next level,
dateline.
Manifest destiny. Yes, we will all be connected.
All right. Well, listen, folks, this is the Dr. Future Show. We're going to take a little break, pay some bills, and we'll be back with some more exciting headlines. Stay tuned. We'll be here.
Welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. Also in the news this week is J. Craig Venter. Have you heard of J. Craig Venter, Mrs. Future?
Oh, of course.
Of course.
He's a rock star in the human genetic research department.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. He was most famous for being a private entrepreneur scientist, taking on the National Institutes of Health and sequencing the DNA code itself back in the 90s.
Yeah, I believe that he and Bruce Lipton were in somewhat of a race against each other to figure out who's going to successfully map the human genome first.
Bruce Lipton, huh?
I believe so, yeah.
NIH. NIH is a big government project with hundreds and hundreds of scientists mm-hmm. trying to decode the human DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And Gretner had the advantage of some really bright software geniuses who came up with some new techniques that allowed him to process the data way faster mm-hmm. than what the government was doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the shotgun method of DNA sequencing. He's someone that has been looking at the evolution of biology and biotech and one of the leaders in that field since then. And his latest thing is to offer all of us a $250 genome kit. We're familiar with the ones from Google.
Yeah, 23andMe, and now also Ancestry.com.
Those are like spit tests where you spit in a vial
mm-hmm.
and you have your DNA analyzed.
Right.
And you get information about your ancestry.
Yeah, maybe proclivities for
illnesses
that you
like
might
that.
Develop that are genetically predisposed.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But it's very basic. Mm-hmm. It doesn't go into great detail. Well, this new kit that Craig Venter promises us let's just say, before you might get like a page of data, now you're getting like an encyclopedia of data about yourself in comparison to these spit
and
tests.
And all of it incomprehensible.
Yeah. Well, that's the key, is to interpret your DNA code. Once you get, I said, oh, that's nice, you know, but what does this mean, right?
Yeah.
So there's going to be a lot of issues along those lines as to
DNA,
translating it, right?
There's
DNA
so many
translators.
Billions and billions of stars in your galaxy of genes, right?
<Yeah.
laughs> How do we know which ones are important? How does the average person make sense of all that information?
What it means is more personalized medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's going to get personalized medicine in the future. It's going to go down to your genome. You know, we already have to fill in all these forms when we see the docs now. Like, what are you allergic to? What, you know, all these kind of stuff. Your DNA code knows all that stuff. All that information of your responses to the environment are there. We just haven't figured out how to interpret it all yet. But we're working on it, and we're evolving it very fast. So more and more of the code will be figured out all the time. This is the latest level of figuring it out through Ventnor's company, which takes it another step beyond what Ancestry and 23andMe are offering.
Right. Yeah, the computers are getting really good at keeping track of what the facts are, but we still are very dependent on people to get what it means. Yeah.
But
personalized
wellness is what it, so we'll always be a human being to help you with figuring out your health. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a role, but the machines will do a lot of the grunt work.
Sure, like they are now.
Yeah.
The machines are comparing different kinds of viruses with different kinds of DNA cures and are just hard-coded to determine which ones have the most likelihood of success. And then those are the ones that are chosen for the actual trials, right? So it's sort of like playing a numbers game.
Pretty much so, yeah. And in 5 to 10 years from now, it'll be evolved to another way of thinking about this. At that point, we will have all the knowledge about who we are on a personal level, and we'll be networked with others that can improve our health or that have something to say about our health in a global network. And then we'll act accordingly with people who want to fix those things. You know, just everyone will about know of each other, more like a human body, the way things communicate inside a body for helping and fixing things.
Mm-hmm. So there's basically like a map inside every cell of the perfect DNA if it's perfectly recapitulated. And as long as it can replicate itself, you'll have perfect health.
And the entire organism will want to heal itself.
Right.
You know, once the species sees itself as a living thing, then it will repair itself even faster. Once it has that identity. Right now, it's an us versus them thing. So there's a lot of illness and disease that's a result of that paradigm of thought.
Sure. I mean, cancer is the ultimate us versus them of your cells, right? Your very own cells have stopped being able to, you can't find oxygen in them, and so they're cancerous.
Yeah, I think Ben Fuchs likes to talk about this.
Yeah, he does. You know. He does.
But the idea is that it is you, dude.
You know? It's still you. It's like those are your
autoimmune
cells.
Autoimmune disease.
Why you're the one who suffocated them somehow.
Why am I attacking myself? Why am I doing this?
Right. Yeah, well, there are lots of new ways to understand how can I love all my cells so that they can be the best they can be? And how can we do that as planetary citizens?
Well, I think that's where other people come in. That's where the healers actually help people with the right attitudes toward their illness for getting better.
Right.
And it has to do with this, this attitude.
Sure.
So that's the latest in terms of a genomic entrepreneur who's planning to sell a genetic workup for as little as $250. But if you have $25,000, you'll get everything imaginable about yourself. You'll be a physical on steroids.
Hey, man, that's only 2 years of Obamacare.
What you see now is nothing. Nothing, I tell you. While we're in the medicine world and disruptive technologies that are changing everything, let's look at this little press statement that came from the Genetics Society in London. The Center for Genetics and Society comments on the first application to pursue genome editing research in human embryos.
Oh, boy.
Okay, that's the first application to use our shiny new CRISPR-Cas9 genome editing tool to look at human embryos and maybe take out bad things we don't like about that.
Right.
Or what everyone's afraid of, add something.
All right, so it's an application to pursue. It means that there's a research organization that's seeking policy permission from the government?
Yes, because you see, one of the big taboos of the species is to muck with your DNA. That's the ultimate taboo.
That's Frankenstein in our generation. That's exactly the Frankenstein story.
Gets
instead
into
of
offense.
Going into like dead bodies and pulling out parts and piecing them together, you're going into DNA code and pulling out parts and piecing them together.
I mean, you're mucking with reality itself, who we are as a species. You start editing, slicing, and dicing people's DNA. You start playing with their minds there as well. You don't like certain traits, you eliminate them. You want them to have musical abilities, you add them. All this sort of thing. Now, there's going to be lots of people that say yes to that, right? I mean, you know it. You just knowing our species is through experience. If you had a chance to cure yourself of a disease by using an editor, you'd do that naturally, right? For healing, it's okay. But then the next level of freedom for the species is to give yourself superpowers, right? Which is pretty common parlance in the millennial generation right now. So what's your superpower? And suddenly we have the tools to give ourselves real superpowers, where we really have mathematical genius ability. All these sorts of things are starting to become real, not just science fiction.
And how do we co-develop the systems for making sure those things are trustworthy? I think that's how you allay the fear.
That really the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? Okay, now that we have this ability, now what? What do we do with this?
Yeah. And how do we keep it honest and how do we keep it sane? How do we make sure that people are taking steps that are not catastrophic?
Yeah.
Right. And how do we even know?
Well, as usual, the species is on the verge of total annihilation and self-extinction versus some kind of mass planetary awakening.
As usual.
As usual.
Some things never change.
But it could happen. It's even more intense now.
Yeah, I mean, for perspective, you keep in mind all of the mass extinctions of the planet. And, you know,
five of them
so
far that we know
about. Tiny little beings. Yeah. We live 100 years, maybe, if we're really smart and do everything right.
Well, we're trying to get past that boundary, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think we're trying to get past the many billion year boundary. You know, I think as life forms, we want this life form to continue to evolve and thrive and to be part of a planet that thrives and life forms that just continue to exist without destroying themselves.
Well, sounds like it would be more fun to combine intelligences with other species.
All right, listen, we're really close to our next break. I hope you're ready.
Okay, I'm ready, yeah.
Well, give us...
Okay, so the thing is, human genome research, here we come. GMO humans, here we come. Mutants, here we come. Superpowers, here we come.
All right, folks, Dr. Future Show, stay tuned.
Yay. Welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. All right, this was the world's first 3D car that will be affordable and recyclable. A giant 3D printer that basically prints out cars.
A 3D printer that prints out cars?
Yeah, it's a new company, a U.S.-based automotive company called Local Motors, like L-O-C-A-L. And they're the first ever automotive company that will be selling 3D electric cars.
Wow.
They say 2015.
You can't wait to have one.
Yeah, 2016, though. I mean, I need a car now.
That's true.
2016.
We're shopping for a new car.
I'm so close to so many, but they're all just almost here. I haven't chosen a car yet, but
the longer you wait, the better it gets.
Yeah.
Can you test drive one of these 3D printed cars?
Well, here, that's what I'd like to do. It's called the Local Motors, and they're planning to sell 3D printed cars from $18,000 to $30,000. Okay, now that's a lot less than a Tesla, you know, for an electric car. Now,
about a sixth.
Yeah, and we looked at some really nice used Chevy Volts over the weekend.
Yeah, Chevy 2013 Volts. There was Volts. A jewel of a Chevy Volt for about $22,000.
Yeah, used, that range. Right.
With 20,000 miles on it.
But, you know, the thing with the Chevy Volt is that a brand new model is coming out this year with all the latest technology, but it's not out yet.
Yeah, we're in that uncomfortable spot where if we go right now, it's going to be too late for last year's great stuff and too early for next year's great stuff. So all you can do is really straddle the line.
I know. So from, you know, in my car world, the other guy's car I liked was we had a Volvo S60 once. Mm-hmm. First year it was out in 01, and it was a sweet machine.
Yes, we did love it.
And so I wonder
Volvo.
What the latest version or newer version of the S60 might be.
Right, okay.
We drove the S80, and it was sweet.
But you have not come across a 3D printed Volvo.
No, there's no 3D printed. This is a whole other level here. Local Motors, $18,000 to $30,000, and you will get this electric car. I have a great article up on that at drfutureshow.com/links.
And it's recyclable.
They showed it off at the hugely popular SEMA Automotive Trade Show, SEMA, in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And they manufactured a 3D printed car on the spot.
Wow, it's really
on the spot
cool
in front of
looking.
A live audience.
I like it. It looks kind of like a sport racer dune buggy.
And what's the chassis? It's not aluminum. It's carbon fiber reinforced plastic paste.
Wow.
All right, and they made the entire fiber of the car in 44 hours.
44 hours it got printed, huh?
Yeah.
And then how long to assemble it?
44-hour car.
Well, I can see why they call it Local Motors. Everybody's going to be able to put the printer in their garage and just manufacture right there in the neighborhood.
Yeah, they will. It's a decentralized manufacturing to the extreme. Now, the average car for an internal combustion vehicle is about 20,000 parts. In your car, there are about 20,000 parts. Mm-hmm. You know how many parts there are in this?
50
wow. parts. 50 wow. parts to make up an entire car.
That sounds like an IKEA furniture kit.
Doesn't it? The IKEA of cars. I think I'm going to go print out a new car. I don't know about fixing that bumper. Let's just replace the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, what are the safety ratings? I mean, it does look really cool. I like the look of it.
Here's the other thing is that you can recycle your vehicle when you're done with it and get the latest new model. Or another model for the chassis.
Yeah,
the chassis can snap on. Like, we learn these things like doing models as kids. You just snap chassis on,
uh-huh.
right, for different cars. Why shouldn't the grown-up cars have interchangeable chassis? Kind of makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, know? Well, again, I just wonder, it looks really cool, but how safe is it?
Well,
obviously, it's brand new. It probably hasn't been through the whole
revenue test. Not as safe as a Volvo 60, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's right. And comparably priced for a used one.
Yeah. Volvo has this new technology that detects pedestrians. Mm-hmm. And if a pedestrian walks in front of it, it'll stop automatically. The brakes will automatically go on.
Hmm. Right. Yeah, let's see him put that into this little local car.
Safety first.
Anyway, do check out the links, folks,
yeah,
on drfutureshow.com.
It's called Local Motors, world's first 3D printed car.
I like it. Very nice.
Yeah, isn't it, though?
Yeah. Mm.
I was thinking what drone to get next, and a friend of mine said, well, you don't buy a drone. You buy a 3D printer and make drones. That's what we do at UCSD. You know, we just print out what we need. We need one for a distance. We need a gun to carry a heavier camera. We need one to drop stuff on crops.
Yeah,
every design is different.
Did he give you advice on which 3D printer to get? To
well, that's what we're
drone?
Working on. That's what uh-huh. we're working on. So I got to get the 3D printer that can print drones. Only makes sense, eh?
Sure.
I mean, as long as it's not too out of my budget.
Uh-huh.
I'd imagine it costs like a car. Probably
maybe the
range.
Same 3D printer that prints the car can print the drone. And then you
only
need one.
There you go. I just step up and do the printer that can do both the car and the drone.
And the recycling.
And the next 3D printer.
It can print another printer for you.
Yeah. Now I'm liking this. This is great. This is more like it.
All right, folks. It's time for our first break, and we'll be right back with more on the Dr. Future Show. Stay tuned.
And speaking about genetic manipulations, we have Michael Zwirling in the studio here.
Hello, how are you, folks?
One of those interesting mutants that created KSCO.
Right.
And he's just back from a couple weeks, Michael?
Yeah, I was gone for 10 days out of the state. Got back on Sunday to San Francisco to KSCO North.
Yeah. You said that you want to get into television. Now, what can you tell the
audience? We have to get into television. We just have to. We have to create a television network about health.
Yeah, what's your thinking about that?
What we've done over the last almost two decades now, with radio and the health message of longevity, it needs to be transferred over to television, because a lot of people listen to radio, people on the go, but a lot of people don't. People who are shut-ins, people who listen to CDs and things when they're driving around. They don't listen to the radio.
Is it sponsored by Longevity, or is it all Longevity content? Is it like a giant infomercial?
It wouldn't be an infomercial any more than it's an infomercial when Doc Wallach is on for 2 hours with George Norrie on Coast to Coast, which will happen again tonight.
Oh, I see. So you have shows like Ben Fuchs doing a show.
Dr. Glidden is back in the fold here, and he's going to be doing a couple of hours on October 13th with George Norrie.
This is golden information for your health.
It really is. And just forget about, you know, it might sound like we're pressuring people to buy stuff. We don't do that at all. We just don't do that.
No, this is definitely
it's all education.
If you don't understand it, we can't explain it to you. People who love these products are healthy. It's just that way.
Yeah, it's keeping the station going too at the same time.
That
right?
too. Yeah. And if you want, there is a business opportunity, but nobody's in your face with it. No one's pressuring. So I went on a 2-part 10-day trip. Hmm. The first part was to northern Michigan, where I have never been, to Mackinac Island, you know, that area up there. Maybe I don't know with you guys.
I've never been there.
We were in Canada, which is, I guess, on a lake up there. But I kind of get an idea. Nice, right?
Was there a vacation? Very, very nice. Yeah. And the Great Lakes, I'd never been to that part of the country. Mm. I'd been to Chicago before, which is on the edge of Lake Michigan. Well, this is way at the top of Lake Michigan, where it connects over to Lake Huron.
Hmm.
And there are sweatshirts that say the Great Lakes, no salt, no sharks, and no something else. I almost bought one of those, one of those T-shirts or sweatshirts or something. But the thought of having an ocean-like vast body of land,
or fresh water,
looking at it and realizing that it's not salty, it's fresh.
Wow.
It's just amazing. The week before I went, I was invited by a Longevity distributor, Char Murphy, who's on with Doc Wallach on Dead Doctors Don't Lie just about every day. She and Doc Wallach bought a bed and breakfast and a vineyard and a winery together.
Wow.
I don't know, about a year ago, when they've been saying, hey, I should come and visit. So I did. I finally did. I waited until after the rush, the vacation rush, where it was just absolutely delightful to travel.
Doc Wallach, is he involved with the winery now too?
No. As an owner. Yeah.
As an owner, but is he going to explore the medicinal uses of stuff?
The resveratrol and there's definitely a connection there. And then later on, when I went to North Carolina, where they held a Longevity leadership summit that was attended by probably a couple thousand people, I saw the best presentation that I'd ever seen Doc Wallach present. I've seen hundreds of them. This was just far and away the best. Guess what? He's in the 21st century now. He uses PowerPoint. Can you believe that? A guy who doesn't even use email? A guy who doesn't even know how to get his cell phone voicemail?
I remember he used to have a file folder full of transparencies.
Right, and it would take time for him to go find the
Carousel Electric Graphics.
And put it on the overhead projector thing.
No
and
kidding.
Yeah. Yet now he's just really adept and sharp with it, and the presentation was out of this world, and it was right from his 1 month earlier. It was a carbon copy of the United Nations. They was given an award at the United Nations.
So I can see why you think he'd be good for television then, because he's got the material.
Yeah, and so I asked the company. There were good video, professional video people there. I said, I hope to God you got a great, video and audio, and they did. Mm. They gave me a flash drive with the audio on it for the 3-hour presentation. I have that, and they promised they would send me the video, even the raw video, when they have that, because it was such a huge file, right?
Yeah.
So I need to talk with you guys about what we need to purchase specifically. I mean, to handle these giant files.
Yeah, yeah.
That will become the basis. Everything we're doing that we've been doing for almost 2 decades on the radio, we want to start doing on television.
Yeah, we'll have the KSEO Home Cloud.
Yeah. We're excited about that.
That's awesome. I want to let you know we've got Colonel Perry on the phone. Colonel Perry is on the phone.
Yeah? Do you want to bring him on?
I would love to if you guys feel like
Colonel Perry or Colonel Terry?
Terry.
Maybe a typo.
It's got to be Terry.
Perry.
We know Terry.
We're
Perry
used to
would
Colonel
be
Colonel Terry, so I'm kind of thinking it might be Colonel Terry. Wanna
Let's
find
see if we're
out?
Right. Yeah.
Hello, Colonel. Welcome
yes,
to
ma'am.
The Dr. Future
hey, it
Show.
Is
that
right.
Colonel Terry?
I recognize that voice.
Hey, hi, smart lady, and your lucky husband.
Hi.
Hi.
Good to hear from you. It's been a long time.
enjoyed hearing MZ's comments, and yes, some kind of television webcasting has got to be the future.
Well, not only webcasting, Colonel Terry, but broadcasting on cable TV.
Certainly.
Yeah, so that everybody can get it. So okay, we're going to have to make a deal with Comcast and Charter and all the major
Netflix.
Yeah, and I don't know how successful we'll be, but this is amazing content that everybody should see. And I'm amazed at how many people who listen to talk radio are afraid of and do not have computers and still care about things like toll-free numbers.
Really?
There are many, 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 many thousands of them.
Well, you know, technology, it's like a club. It's like a ham radio club. People like what they like, and that's what they use.
Yes. Do 900 numbers still exist?
Good question. I haven't heard anything about them. I think they do, but I don't. You never hear about them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's not one technology fits all. You know, people get comfortable, and then they want to use what they're used to.
Terry, I know you're fascinated by
climate change?
No, not climate change, but just things that are different, especially when there's something that's not working, as in healthcare in this country. And there's somebody out there like Doc Wallach who makes all the sense in the world with logic. And I know you've gotten to know him.
Yes, indeed, and I respect him highly.
Yeah.
And the whole epigenetics movement, mm-hmm. he is certainly one of the principal founders.
Mm-hmm.
Doc deserves lots of credit. It is interesting to me, as you know, as a smart person, MZ, I've studied nutrition since I was 17. Everybody who meets my two brothers and I, who are 5 and 7 years younger than I, strangers think I must be younger than my younger brothers by 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Doing something right, huh?
Because they're not into nutrition and you are?
Well, they don't even open the books I give them at Christmas. I've given them a couple of Wallach's books and others over the decades.
Maybe they'll watch a TV show.
Yeah.
You can hope.
Yeah. Anyway, we smart thinking aware people are informed about nutrition, and we find somebody like Wallach and Youngevity or some of the others that are high quality. Uh-huh. And we get, what I like about Youngevity is getting 90 things in one cupful every morning.
I tell you, the Beyond Tangy Tangerine is one of the best products, hands down, available anywhere for your health.
Yeah,
it just got
another award from some independent laboratory for being, you know, head and shoulders above any other product. If there isn't even any similar product, but any kind of nutritional product. So, anyhow, listen tonight from 10 until midnight, and you'll hear a really interesting couple of hour segment. George Norrie loves Doc Wallach, wants him on once a month now.
Nice.
You know? By the way, I am ignorant of your FM frequency.
104.1.
It's new.
Is it on now?
It's new, Colonel Terry. Oh. It's only been on a few months, right?
Just a month and a half, yeah.
Month and a half. See, 6 weeks. It's practically a brand new
band. We haven't done any advertising of it. We really need to and will.
Okay.
So this is brand new stuff.
But I never listen on 1080 anymore because it sounds way better on 104.1.
Did you write down the FM channel there, Colonel Terry, from the commercial?
Inc. 104.1
There
FM.
You go. Good
job. If you're anywhere in Santa Cruz County, in fact, you get a better signal than you've gotten if you're in places like Boulder Creek, you know, and in the nooks and crannies and canyons of the area. You'll get a better signal than you've gotten on 1080. And we've always had a strong signal on 1080 AM. And I always thought that we had an excellent fidelity signal, which we do as AM stations go, but there's limited bandwidth on an AM channel. There's a lot wider bandwidth on an FM channel, and I had no idea how much better KSCO could sound. It just naturally does on FM.
Does that mean we could get into stereo?
Yes, it does mean that, and we have all the equipment here to do it, so whenever you hear music, it's Doug Winfrey. And
hey, Doug.
So whenever you hear music, I think I heard Richard B. Luther II on the Saturday special with the high-priced consultant.
You mean Richard
Saturday.
Actually goes on the air?
Well, some caller asked the high-priced consultant who filled in for me the last two Saturdays a question involving technical information. And
so he's the
and
go-to.
So he said, let's see. He said, gee, if Richard B. Luther is here, maybe he can come in and answer the question, which he did. He was talking about a delay that he hears on FM. When he switches between 1080 and 104.1, there's a few-second delay.
Is that a wardrobe malfunction thing?
I don't know what it is, but Richard said that, and it is true, that we have the audio condom on both channels.
The audio condom.
Yes.
He didn't use,
he didn't like the 7-second delay.
That's We're going to bleep out any nudity on the air.
Yeah. So can you vary that, by the way? Can you like have a 8-second or a 2-second?
Yes.
Yeah?
So and you can, and it saves it. It saves the offending audio.
You can have
you can
it.
Send it as a file.
I wonder, I wonder if you could use Siri to look for bad words, and then she'd cut it off and use it or some form
of
AI.
What a great idea!
Then you wouldn't have to worry about it.
Yeah. So I've had Siri and known about it for years and years, and I'm only lately starting to use it.
Hmm. Oh, it's amazing what she can do to it for you now.
I thought, you know, they say you shouldn't text because you'll kill yourself and others when you're driving. You can text in a non-dangerous way by just pressing the button twice or whatever it is to talk, or holding it down. Is that what you do to get Siri to come on?
You can also say, hey, Siri.
Yeah, but there needs to be something, some later OS or something for it to do that.
Yeah, also on my watch, I can just touch it like that, and it'll go into Siri.
So then you just say, send message to, or message to, what's that?
That's a time for a commercial or something.
Oh, okay, yeah. Oh, my God, got to have a commercial.
Well,
we were
talking about longevity.
Dr. Future Show, got MZ in the house, and we'll be back.
Some other commercials besides longevity.
That's right, and Colonel Terry online.
And Colonel Terry, yes.
Hang tight, folks. We'll be right back.
Who is a commercial? This is Alan Lundell, a.k.a. Dr. Future on KSCO Radio. 10 years ago, we bought a house out in Boulder Creek. It was a gamble because we love to be around bandwidth and power. We found the perfect house with incredible view, but no bandwidth or power. I was very despondent. I was reading Wired, and I ran across this Silicon Valley executive who lived in the Santa Cruz Mountains, and he claimed he had bandwidth. He was getting service from some group called Etheric Networks. So I gave him a call. Etheric put a dish on our roof, and boom, we suddenly had amazing bandwidth. It's been 10 years now. We've been very, very happy with their service.
KSCO, residential special. Residential service up to 10 megabits per second, symmetric. That's up and down for $85 a month and $199 installation. With guaranteed minimum speeds and uptime, unlike our competitors. Etheric Networks. Call 650-399-4200. That's 650-399-4200. Etheric.net. That's Etheric.net.
Hi, everyone. It's Kay Swirling. You haven't heard a commentary from me in quite some time because I decided to rest my brain, smoke some pot, and mellow out.
Okay, welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. We have MZ in the studio and Colonel Terry on the line and Mrs. Future at the controls, and I get to watch.
Welcome to the future.
Yes, and we're talking about the future of KSCO. I have one of our topics.
So just turning on a video camera, like they have a rush cam, so you can see what the person looks like, that's no big deal. It's got to have production value.
Oh, sure. You seen George Norrie's video show on Gaia TV? Gaia TV?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so he has a studio. That's the big difference, right? You bring your guests into a studio. There's nice colors.
It's even more than that. Mm-hmm. Just a lot of different cutaways. And
you got to have virtual sets that look realistic.
Yeah, and supposedly we already have the software for that.
The virtual sets?
Yeah. That's a component of what do they call it?
Wirecaster?
Wirecast, yeah. Uh-huh.
We should look at that.
Maybe,
that would be really
interesting.
Maybe
we'll get a TriCaster.
Mm. Well, that's always fun.
But I don't know what I sort of need some consultation.
Well, if you can get Kiki Stockhammer to consult on this.
Yeah.
Kiki Stockhammer.
This is more whimsical suggestion. Oh, okay.
Kiki has been like the babe that represented the TriCaster at all the trade shows for years.
Oh, okay.
And she's a totally knowledgeable geek as well.
Yeah, she's a gorgeous geek girl.
So she's still
a babe?
She
loves to dance. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Babe in her
50s. She's really fun.
Yeah, and she still looks great.
Yeah.
All right.
And you go to any trade show where there's a TriCaster and you're likely to run into her.
If you go to the website, you'll see her.
Is there anybody out there in Radio Land, in KSCO Radio Land, who knows anything about video? Send me an email, mz@ksco.com.
I guess it depends on what level MZ is.
The highest level.
Yeah, well,
I want to do Alex Jones quality level video.
Then, yeah.
Okay?
All right, that's a good networking
I'm totally
thing.
Committed to doing that.
Okay?
We've got the funds. We'll do it.
All right. You
know, so
well, there
I just
you go.
Need to know how to do it.
All right. So
the call is out.
mz@ksco.com.
Here comes Billy right in there.
I submit you've just answered your own question.
Yeah.
Nobody's calling.
Simply contact Alex Jones, his technical guy, and get him to tell you who to talk to.
Well, there's that network, too. There's the professional network. That's true, Bill.
Why didn't I think of that?
Because
that's why you get the big bucks, Bill.
Well, they're both, there's Billy's connections, too, that he personally knows.
Yeah.
You know, maybe. And there's my connections, which... You know, I'll happily share with you. And
is there anybody else's connections out there in Radio Land?
Any top geeks that want to work with KSCO TV?
All right, MZ is willing to open up the airwaves. You just have to bring the talent, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ideas welcome.
Yeah, and the whole idea, the main idea is to share. Wow. Here. Let's. This is what I recorded this morning with the permission. Of the guy. Okay. Tell me when we have to. Do we have till the top of the hour?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we do.
So here, listen to this. Here.
Okay, you're introducing an alternative to the failed healthcare system.
Right.
Now let me tell you why that makes sense to work. Is now you're selling the product because you're letting them know that you have a benefit at the end of this. Of why, now then you can go to why it's failed, and then you go, you've already set up, so it doesn't come out of nowhere that you have a better way.
Yeah.
So that would be, if I was writing it, it would be that this is the alternative to a failed healthcare system, and that sets up that you have something down here. If you listen to this, you'll find out not just 3 hours of negativity. Mm-hmm. That you have the answer.
Right.
So you're setting up the...
Yeah. No, I'm totally with you.
Okay.
Totally with you. No negativity, only positivity.
No, it can have negativity because after that, you have to explain why it's failed. But you're doing it with hope at the end. There's a rainbow there. You're not just saying, oh, who's me? Kill Obamacare, which is what the Republicans are doing. Kill, oh, it's got to be kill, without saying is, and here's a better way.
Right.
And you have the better way in this case. They don't. So you have
to... Anyhow, do you know who that is? That is a friend of mine, my neighbor at KSCO North. He's like me. He's there maybe one or two days a week, and he has another place that's up north. And I have another place here, at KSCO Central. When we're up there at the same time, he has these wonderful Springer Spaniel dogs. He gets up at 6 a.m. and walks at Chrissy Field with them. And I once asked him, I said, do you want some company? He said, sure. Can I get some exercise early in the day, right? Get that out of my system, because I get exercise that way. But this guy is a retired, he's like 79 years old, going on 39. He's got a mind that's just so creative. And he is a world-class advertising executive. He was one of the top quality advertising.
He's going to have some great products to work with.
He's telling me, he says, I'm happy to work with you because I've been this January 31st next, I will have had the station for 25 years. I can't believe it. And I don't know diddly squat about how to write a good commercial.
So you have a real madman working for KSCO.
Nice.
I mean, world class. I mean, he had the Clorox account, which was $150 million.
Yeah. We're big fans of the series.
Yeah,
it's...
And every time, every major ad agency in the world, was always after him to come and work at their agency because they knew he would bring all his clients who loved him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd love to talk to him on some things. Yeah. Like we were just talking about this new invention called Casper Crisp 9. You heard that at all?
No.
It's a new DNA editing tool that's kind of like a nonlinear editor for the genes. much like video stuff is, right?
Almost like Adobe Premiere.
It is. For Adobe genes. Premiere for your genes. And so it allows us to slice and dice the human genome like it was silly putty. We're heading very rapidly in that direction. So with that kind of freedom, the first thing everyone's thinking about is how to use it in healthcare. Right, how to use this tool for slicing out bad things in the DNA.
When you hear this 3 hours, I fall asleep for everything. But I couldn't fall asleep no matter how hard I tried for this 3 hours. The Doc Wallach presentation.
So Doc Wallach, that exciting
that
this,
he did that he did for the United Nations.
Oh, for the UN.
And this was a carbon copy of that. They gave him an award, a God award or something. I forget what it stands for, but the eponym is God, G-O-D.
God from who?
I'll tell you exactly what it means if you want to know.
All right.
That's all right. I can check into it later myself. I'd rather just have your presence.
So anyhow, it looks like there are people calling.
Yeah, do we have some in the line there?
There must be some mistake.
Well, Terry has been very patient, and then Norma Jean was having a chat with someone, and I think she's having a chat with someone again.
See, that's one of the things that happens with the new media is fractionation. Like, you start a chat room, and they start talking to each other, and they forget about the show. Yeah. That seems to happen all the time. That's what some of our, Leo Laporte. Yeah, that sort of thing is happening. So when you start a media, like, you start spinning off things you never even realized would happen. So, like with television, television today ain't what it was in the 50s.
Right.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So, anyhow, there's a lot of fun times ahead and creative times and using technology to the maximum degree possible times ahead. So I'm excited about that. Are you?
We're made of that stuff. Are you kidding? Absolutely.
It reminds me of this piece I was going to bring up in the show while you're here. Can you see what you think? 20 PhDs were asked what a dumbed-down version of their thesis would be. And where they take years of their life, and it could be summed up in one sentence. What would it sound like? And these are some of the ideas. One, does music express emotions or just elicit them? Read the next 200 pages to not find out.
Oh, my God. I don't think I can
say, listen, we've got about 2 minutes, and we've got Nick from Royal Oak who wants to make a comment. Right, Nick? You want to say something?
Yeah, hi.
Hey,
hi.
Nick.
Welcome to Dr.
That's incredible. They got studios right at the old Wrigley's building.
Oh, yeah.
Right, Digital Media Factory,
Yeah, we've been over there, MZ. Remember, on the other side of town, the Wrigley Studios?
Marty Collins.
Collins, yeah.
Is that still operating?
When he was first on George, and same with Ben, they revealed everything I've ever heard from them all in one episode. So I think you could just replay that one again and again and just have it once a month or something. Or you can try to go weekly, daily, or as it goes now. Because the part that he says everything is great. You never work.
I think we should have a Doc Wallach AI where you can just ask him anything and he'll just talk about it.
All right.
Well, we have that at deaddoctorsradio.com.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Anybody can go there and anybody can use that as a tool if they're in our Young
Jeff. But it's not an AI. I mean, it's...
What's an AI?
Artificial intelligence. You know, Doc Wallach AI avatar.
Let's do that.
Am I still there?
Yeah, that would be, really cool.
Yeah,
do you know how to do that?
We're about to go for our top of the hour
break.
Let me
talk to you after the show here.
All right, folks, this is the Dr. Future Show on KSCO Santa Cruz.